Hey guys, we got a little bonus episode for you here. I had the privilege of being a guest on a podcast called The Things I Think About with Jim Stroud. So I'll post it here for your listening pleasure. Enjoy.
You're listening to The Things I Think About podcast. I'm your host, Jim Stroud. Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Things I Think About podcast. I'm your host, Jim Stroud. And on my mind today, what I'm thinking about is something that I think a lot of people are not thinking about these days. Something that used to be taught in school back in my day. School was designed to teach you how to think, how to look at things critically, how to be skeptical. A little healthy skepticism, I think is good. But that is something that's not in abundance these days. And it's something I want to discuss with my guests, my special guest. So that being said, special guest, tell us, who are you and what do you do?
All right. Great. Jim, I appreciate you having me on. My name is Kason Pratt, and I'm the host of the podcast Awake the Iron. And to kind of introduce myself, I'm going to do a little game for you. I'm going to give you, you said something about critical thinking. I'm going to give you three pieces of information about me. Okay. Two of those will be true and one will be a deception. Mm. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the three things. Number one, I am an amateur competitive snow skier. Number two, I was born in Japan. And number three, I was a professional singer. So two of those are true.
All right, professional skier, born in Japan. And the third one again was?
I was a professional singer.
Singer. Okay, I am going to go with professional singer is the deception.
Actually, I have never skied a day in my life. So there you go. But anyway, I always like starting things that way, especially because my podcast is about deception and, you know, we're a trusting people. I am. I have no reason to believe anyone would lie to me. Mm. You know, so you tell me your name is Jim. I'm fine. Okay. I believe you, but I don't really know if your name is really Jim, I guess, but I could find out, and that takes some work, right?
Yeah.
But you know, so anyway, that's a little exercise there in critical thinking. But I was born in Japan. My parents were missionaries, so I was a missionary kid.
Okay.
And when I was a kid, I was paid to sing for one of those VBS song packages that churches would get to do.
Oh, wow.
VBS program. So okay, just the one time. So, but I say, hey, I'm a professional singer, right? Yeah, paid to do it.
That's cool. That's cool. The cognitive dissonance, I think, that a lot of people are having these days is distressing to me. Now, I know that COVID exists. I know that it is a real thing and other people are sick behind it. I know that people have died from it. I don't think the reaction to COVID is as warranted as some people think. And this is one of the reasons why I say that. Again, not discounting the existence of COVID. The Biden administration has mandated that fellow employees have to wear masks. They are talking about, had to be vaccinated rather. They're talking about, and wear masks. And they also talk about how the military will have to be vaccinated, at least they're discussing it being a mandate. So on one hand, there is a strong focus on the safety and health of American citizens, at least under the purview of the federal government. So there's that on one hand. On the other hand, we have a southern border that is wide open. and illegal aliens coming through that border are not being tested for COVID. And they are being bused to different places. They're being flown to different places, it's been proven. So my thinking says that maybe there's something more to this whole COVID pandemic if you're allowing, at least at this type of this recording, 1,200,000 illegal aliens coming across the border as of this recording that are not tested. The likelihood of them not having COVID is extremely low. But so my question to you is, what's your reaction to that? Does that reflect critical thinking of the American public to not be outraged, to not demand that the border be closed if there is a pandemic going on, as it were? Or is it not a pandemic? I mean, it's sort of like, is it or is it not?
Well, and I think you have no idea how right you are in your statement. So, I mean, I started researching deep about 2005. And it's funny because I tell people, hey, how long have you, you know, they'll be arguing with me maybe about COVID this and COVID that. And there's all kinds of information, right? And I'll say, hey, how long have you been researching this? And they'll be like, oh, well, you know, it's got COVID hit in like 2020 or just before. And I'm like, well, I've been looking at this since 2005, man. And maybe not COVID specifically, but there's a preponderance of evidence. I like that term because there's things that stack up and stack up. So one weird thing is just one weird thing. Like maybe you read an article in a paper and something's not right about it. You're like, what? That's weird. And you can look into it and be like, oh, that's like a fake story or whatever. But that's just one. But when you start stacking up more and more, there's something else going on. And the critical thinking, there just isn't any. And there's a lot of reasons I think that is. One of them is a topic I haven't got to on my show yet about how schools are just, they're regurgitation camps. It's just, I will tell you what you are going to think. And then the people who get A's are the ones who can just throw it back. And there's no, like, I should be careful. I shouldn't say there is no, there's good teachers, there's good people everywhere, but the system breeds like a worker bee, a drone person, a mindless, you know, kind of human. And it's okay to stop, take a breath. And just because someone has, you know, letters after their name, like PhD or something, doesn't mean that they're necessarily right. And consensus doesn't equal fact either. So for a quick example, if there's a, you know, Dr. Robinson's a brain surgeon, that's like, you know, you're a brain surgeon, it's like, wow, right? Now, if I have a wart on my head and I want to get rid of the wart, well, Bill down at the gas station actually might know more about getting rid of warts than Dr. Robinson, the brain surgeon. So, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So just in case, it's just a kind of a silly example, but it's okay if you're not a doctor or whatever to think critically. You can speak, you know, I speak English, I can read. Right. And I have a mind that God gave me that I can use to think about things. So that's a long answer for a question.
No, but it's a good one. It's a good one. Because someone's wearing a lab coat doesn't mean.
Yeah, that right.
They are.
That's right.
But there's some kind of famous experiment that proved that if someone tells you something and they're wearing a lab coat, then you're apt to believe it because they seem to be an authoritative figure because they're wearing a lab coat.
But, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Along those lines of critical thinking too, sort of, I guess will be sort of the theme of this episode. I talked about how the White House is doing one thing, but also doing something else on the other hand, which distorts the narrative. Something else that distorts the narrative, or at least something that makes me go, right? So this is a headline from Gateway Pundit, which posted just a moment ago. This is the headline. Wow. Moderna calls for third shot of vaccine to protect against new strains. On same day, company posts $4 billion second quarter profit on vaccines. When you hear that headline, what comes to mind to you?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I just it specifically sparked my memory of, you know, in the 1950s, doctors, medical doctors were on commercials advocating that cigarettes are good for you. Okay, so tobacco company, billions of dollars. Somehow they got doctors, whether they were real doctors that were misled or bribed, or just they, I don't know the reason that we could speculate, you know, usually money has something to do with it. So doctors were saying cigarettes are good for you. I mean, come on. And now it's like, you don't think that, let's just swap out the billions and billions of dollar industry. So instead of tobacco, we'll talk pharmaceutical company.
Mm.
So isn't it possible, if we're thinking critically? So this is, I'm speculating right now, but you can look and dig and find evidence for this. You got to be careful how you look for that because of censorship and stuff, and, mm-hmm. and where you'll be gatekept and led to. But the, you know, the doctors, some, I'm not painting all doctors, of course, but some could advocate for things that they're either wrong about, they're paid off about, or, you know, you can fill in your any other explanation there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is immediately what I thought of when you started reading that.
Yeah. Some people I know would see that headline and they would kind of just sort of roll their eyes and they'll say, it's so what? It costs money to produce the vaccine. They're making money. So what? And I don't think that they would put the dots together that the same way I would, thinking that perhaps there might be a financial incentive to keep the vaccines rolling, and it's not all altruism. I wonder, is part of the reason critical thinking is not as popular in today's day and time is because people buy into a narrative and they don't want to separate themselves from the narrative that they believe.
Yeah. You know, I grew up in Japan and the Japanese have a saying, I can't speak it like I used to, but they have a saying that the basically the nail that sticks up will be hammered down. So you don't want to stick out, and their culture is a little different than ours, but yeah, I mean, you don't want to be, I don't want to be looked at as a crazy person if I, but you know, and I wanted to mention the term, you know, I've been called a conspiracy theorist, right?
Hmm.
Well, we got to break that down a little bit. First of all, that's a term it's a weaponized term. It was created by the CIA to label people who thought something was weird about how the President Kennedy was killed. Hmm. And okay, so it's a weaponized term. There are conspiracies. A conspiracy theory is a conspiracy that there's no evidence behind, right? So I'm not a conspiracy theorist because I actually start at the evidence is where I begin my research. And then, you know, we go from there. That's how, you know, that's how detectives are supposed to do it and stuff. I'm not a detective, but I'm just saying.
Sure.
So you don't, you know, the nail that sticks up will be hammered down. I don't want to be viewed as a crazy person or, you know, every classroom growing up, there was always that kid that always raised his hand and just blurted out some answer. And he was, you know, if he was dead wrong all the time, but he wasn't afraid to speak up. And I admire that. I admire that. And, you know, real quick, you were talking about, I jotted down here that what's weird about all these people telling me to get a vaccine. Here's the weird thing. A lot of people who aren't doctors, they're they're politicians. Like, I would do anything a politician. If politicians said, go get this taco at Taco Bell, I'd be skeptical. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Right. Politicians right. are telling me to get a vaccine. Celebrities, right? There's these, all these commercials, football players, like, I do what my doctor says. I got the shot. Well, guess what? My doctor personally advised me not to. And there's three different reasons for that. I'm not going to get into them. They're medical reasons why I shouldn't get it. So these stupid commercials are like, well, you got to do what your doctor says. Well, I am doing that. You know, everybody's different. And that should set off alarms when politicians and celebrities are the ones telling you to get a medical intervention, for crying out loud. When has that ever been accepted? Like, oh, you know, this football player told me to go get LASIK, so I'm just going to go get LASIK surgery, like, because he told me. That's stupid.
Right. It's it rings somewhat of an alarm bell when I see a marketing campaign to the extent that I have seen around this. I did not see this around the SARS. I did not see this around Ebola. I didn't see it around H1N1. I didn't see this around other viruses that we've had to deal with in the past. And that makes it interesting to me, for one. It just seems like it's, if something is so good for you, why do you have to push it on me? Right? If I see a piece of chocolate cake that my wife makes and I think, man, that looks so good, I can already taste it in my mouth, she doesn't have to put a commercial together and say, take the cake, you're gonna love it. How do you know?
It sells itself.
If I really wanted to, you know what, it reminds me of something else. Let me sort of digress a little bit. Another thing that sort of strikes my radar a bit about this is that not only the strong push for vaccines, which again, I'm not, for the record, not saying anti-vax, because vaccines have helped a lot of people over the years. Just this particular instance just seems interesting to me. I rarely see, and maybe you've seen it, I haven't. I rarely see a lot of speculation or conversation around prevention. What can you do to prevent getting it in the first place?
Actually, your Twitter got canceled for that. I just listened to that episode today. I was going through. I'm like, what's this? He got kicked off Twitter. Yeah. Wasn't it that you had posted something about
exactly.
that?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
How no, like, one talks about prevention. It's just get the shot and there's nothing else you can do. But there are things you can do. You know,
yeah, but that sets off bells, alarm bells, like you said. That should be something that goes, you know, makes people go, what? Yeah. No matter what, even if it's the greatest thing ever, you know what? That's just a weird thing that happens.
But, yeah, it is. It's like this. We're in this era of this emperor has no clothes. You know, are you familiar with that fairy tale where these con artists come up to a king and say, King, we make the best clothes in the world. And they're made out of magic thread, but only the most brilliant people can see it. And so they pretend to dress up the king in this fancy costume, but it's really nothing, you know. And when the king walks around, they know that only the smartest people or only the most intelligent people can actually see the clothing. So no one wants to admit that they don't see anything, because that would mean that they're not intelligent. So they say, oh yeah, King, I see it. You look beautiful in your robes. And then one day this little boy said, the emperor is naked. He's not wearing any clothes. And because someone stood up and said it, everybody admits it. And they all start laughing. The king is totally embarrassed. I see so much of the emperor has no clothes and so many different things. One of them is like the southern border, how it doesn't really jibe with the health and safety precautions that the administration is doing. But something else I see too, and I want to get your feedback on this and make sure I'm not the only one. A lot of people are praising President Biden they're saying, oh, he's so great and wonderful. And at the same time, if you ever were to watch him, like they had a town hall, a CNN town hall where he was speaking there. And he goes off into these episodes of gibberish to be polite as possible, right? And I've seen him on other occasions. Like there was one viral clip where, and I don't know for sure because I haven't heard it in context, where he says that he's happy that he wiped his butt that morning, right? And he'll say other things that are really weird, which have me wonder if he has Alzheimer's or some sort of mental thing going on. If I notice it and I'm way over here, I'm just, you know, just a regular guy looking at the new stuff, I'm sure other people are seeing it, but no one's really saying, well, a few people are, a few patriots are, but unless you're like on the right or patriotic or I don't know the right nomenclature to use.
Yeah. Yeah. I get you.
Some people on the right see it, but all the people on the left don't seem to see it. They don't seem to be worried that somebody who has a failing mental capacity or diminishing mental capacity is leading this country. And it's like a whole, it's like an emperor has no clothes scenario. At least that's how it seems to me. That, why do you think that is, if you see it that way too?
Well, I get exactly what you're saying. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, I don't watch a lot of news, and I think we're being fed a lot of stuff there,
but
I know exactly what you're talking about. And I think there's a couple things going on. One is just this, I think there's decades of programming that we've all undergone. Just like I was talking about the worker bees, it's like the school system, the culture is just creating worker drones, just do as you're told and shut up mentality. And of course, you know, the right and left, the red and blue, it seems like a show to me. Sometimes it's like their buddies back behind the curtain, but then they come out and it's like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So, I think it points to, and, you know, we can look deeper into this, you know, I've looked at a lot of this deeply. Mm. So I think it points to that there's controllers above even these positions.
Sure.
So, you know, Biden is obviously, I had grandparents who went through Alzheimer's, and it gets like that. So I think something fishy going on. I feel sorry for him. He's just an elderly man that's kind of losing it, and that happens when you get older. But you know, shame on the party for like kind of putting him out there and then probably just pulling the strings behind and like, hey, you know, we'll throw the old man out there and he'll just say what we tell him. And it feels that way to me. And man, I've got to be honest with you, there's been a couple times where I think he's in front of a green screen or something. It doesn't even look real.
Yeah.
Some of them, like the press conferences, some of them, it's like, man, I don't know. I'm not sure what's going on there. But just like our little game at the beginning where I told you three things, you know, we can't just swallow what we're presented with. You know, Reagan said trust but verify. So that's pretty good advice. I think he was talking about the Russians, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, it's the whole situation is just nuts to me. I think that a lot of people rely on their feelings more so than looking at facts. Now, that's not to discount that feelings aren't important, because of course you get angry about something that encourages you to action. But I think a lot of times people run with the feelings without having the facts to further validate why they're feeling it. I think they subscribe to the groupthink, that they stand in lockstep with their party instead of just sort of thinking things through sometimes. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, if you're, so this is a deeper thing, subject, we don't have to get into it all, but basically, I think we're deliberately kept in a constant state of fear. we're told to be afraid of everything, right? We're just, everything is fear, 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 fear. And when you're kept in a state of fear, you don't think right. You're selfish, and it's more like survival mode. Not in a real, I'm trying to survive in the woods and, you know, like that, but on a softer, like more behind the scenes, you know, subconscious level, you're kept in fear. We're told to be afraid of all kinds of stuff. And then you can't think clearly. And, you know, we're told that, you know, you gotta be afraid of this virus. We're going to run out of water. The earth is going to flood, you know, or global warming, or be afraid, divide. We're divided by race. We're divided by countries, sports teams, all on and on and on. And everybody is just this constant, you know, your body releases certain hormones when you have fear. But I think our bodies are made for that to be like in bursts, so you can take care of the emergency, you know, like instinctually, but you're just kept at this fear, fear, fear all the time. So it's like a drug, drugging our brains. And then you're easier to control. You can be quick to just accept whatever the quote unquote authorities tell you. And I think there's a lot more to that, and there's a lot of digging. That's a whole nother spider web rabbit hole.
True. As you said, I was thinking about how when the American public is afraid, then the leadership can take on new powers. And when they take on new powers during this emergency situation, they don't want to let them go. And in the hypocrisy abounds. I remember Governor Whitmer getting in trouble for violating her own mask mandates. Chicago Mayor Lightfoot did the same. Gavin Newsom up in California also.
Oh, he's awful.
Which also disrupts their own credibility, but it also disrupts the narrative. If things are so dangerous and you must be masked at all times, then how come they don't have to be? Just yesterday, I saw on, was it Tucker Carlson, I think it was? AOC was taking a photograph with some of her fans, for lack of a better word. And they all crowded together, took off their masks, took a picture. And then as soon as the picture was over, they put the mask back on. And I'm like, okay, if it's such a pandemic that you have to wear your mask at all times, then why'd you take it off just to take a photo? You know, right. Pelosi, and I've seen so many of them, Pelosi do this, and not so many others do this. It just really amazes me how some people can see that, but there's no critical thinking in that. No one's thinking like, hey, how come they get to do this, but we can't?
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's the rub right there is I'm an advocate for people just choosing to wear one or not. I think it infringes on our rights to force a medical intervention. The FDA classifies a mask as a medical device. So if you're forced to wear a mask, it's a forced medical intervention. These aren't my terms, right? And so it violates your rights. It's morally wrong. So I'm good with people just wear as however you want. So I advocate for taking off your mask and taking a picture, of course, but not. But it makes me wonder, well, what the heck is going on here? If you are shouting from a mountaintop that everybody's got to, you know, cover their face, you know, and a quick little thing about that, I just wrote this big long letter to the school board here, pleading to them not to require students to wear masks. And like, it's so simple. Just tell people to wear a mask if you want. Like, I just don't get why it can't be that simple. But Dr. Fauci wrote a paper about the 1919 Spanish flu, and that and how they took samples from the deceased from that like they looked at the samples from deceased persons from the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
And they realized that most people died from bacterial pneumonia.
Really?
And a lot of doctors that I've come across now looking into that, they think the bacterial pneumonia was because everybody's wearing masks all the time.
And breathing back in the same germs they're breathing out all the time.
Yeah, and maybe you got a virus and you were weakened, but then the mask like did you in.
Locked it in.
Isn't that wild? Fauci himself wrote that paper. Wow. So I had a PDF of it, and I told the people at the school board, I was like, here, you know, you can, I don't just say, hey, we shouldn't wear a mask, and here's why. You know, I gave a bunch of different things. There's stories everywhere about how, actually, I just did an episode on, we used the COVID charts quiz from Tom Woods. I don't know if you know Tom Woods, tomwoods.com. He does all these, he compiles data and makes them into these cool looking charts so you can see visually. And I just did a whole show about that where the question was, did mask mandates work? And they didn't. Like there are the numbers of cases and stuff are all over the place by state. This state, you know, like state, like Arizona didn't hardly do anything. And their cases were actually kind of low, but you know, California does everything. It's like Nazi Germany and their cases were high, and it was per capita. So it's not like, oh, California has more, you know, population or whatever, but it's super interesting. So you got to look at stuff like that and say, why are they still making us do this? If, you know, here's the numbers. If you even believe the numbers, you know, the CDC has been caught lying in the past, 2008 swine flu. Yeah. Cheryl Atkinson, a reporter, did a story on that and she was fired, but and people can look into that kind of stuff. But we got to take a step back and think about this stuff. And yeah, if it's not lining up, right? 2 + 2 = 4. If somebody says 2 + 2 = 5, we'd be like, well, that's not quite lining up. You know, let's look into it, right?
It's crazy. This is what they call clown world.
I called it a crazy clown show. I called 2020 a crazy clown show.
Yeah, I thought 2020 was the worst, but 2021 is giving it a run for the money.
Yeah.
What do you think about these vaccine passports that they're trying to push in New York? I'm looking at an article now where, actually I'm looking at a video now of a, ironically, Black Lives Matter mob attacking a group of Black conservatives in New York who are speaking out against what they call racist vaccine passports from de Blasio's edicts. The argument being that if you're going to force people to have a passport to show your papers to walk down the street or enter a building, you're going to hurt minority businesses. And so Black conservatives are speaking out against it, and Black Lives Matter mob are attacking the Black conservatives, which I think is a really, really interesting, interesting picture to see. What do you think about vaccine passports for or against?
I think the vaccine passport is one of the most horrible things I could possibly imagine. And I, to be honest with you, I'm 44 years old and I did not think I would see anything like that in my lifetime. It should be terrifying to all people who consider themselves lovers of freedom that is actually even being considered. Even if being considered, it runs my blood cold. And people have no idea where this goes. I do. And anyone can know, because we just look, just, you know, what, 50, 60 years ago, 70, whatever, and all around the world. But here's a question I ask a lot of times.
World War II. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number one, if we're supposed to be in a free society, and in a free society, you're not guaranteed safety. You know, you can be guaranteed safety to a point in a prison, and you have zero freedom, and you have, you know, 95% safety, but you're not free, you know. But here's what I don't get is, if people love stuff like that makes us less free, just move to the country that does that. And why do I have to move to somewhere else? Actually, there's nowhere for me to go. If I want to be free, this is it. This is the last place. It's like an island that, mm-hmm. that if you get off of and go to other islands, they're not free. Right. So if I'm talking to this person and I say, you have places you can go. Okay. Like someone says, oh, I don't think we should have guns. I'm like, well, there's plenty of countries you can go to where you can't own guns. Just go. How fortunate for you that a place that you want exists and you can go there. Now, you might not be able to leave there depending on where you want to go.
Right.
Or if, you know, and if you want to live somewhere that oppresses people, makes them show their papers, just move to those countries. Why do I have to leave? And I have nowhere to go. So can we leave this like this? And you can go wherever you want to go that has what you want, right? I don't understand it, man.
You know, it's easy to look up, but there were a lot of celebrities who said that if Donald Trump was elected president, they would leave. I know Whoopi Goldberg was one of them, but after he was elected, they never leave. They always say, they always threaten it, but they never follow through. Why do you think people like that on the left will say, if this person's elected, I'll leave the country? They say it like one, people care enough to change their vote because that particular celebrity may leave. But when they lose, the celebrity never leaves. Why do you think people just threaten it and put the country down, but never leave the country?
Yeah, I think the answer is self-evident there that, that I don't know, it's for show, you know, whatever. My response was, like, they said, oh, so-and-so said they're going to leave if Trump gets elected. I'm like, bye. You know, I'll help you move. My neighbor and I are about as opposite as you can get. And I've talked to him many times about, hey, when are you going to move, man? I'll help you, because obviously you don't like it here in a place where we can be free. So yeah, the vaccine passports, man, I don't even like saying the word. It gives me the creeps, but I guess this is what it's come to. This is the doom of our time.
I think it's going to be attached. If it goes through, I pray it doesn't, but if it does, I think it's just another way of controlling the masses. And I think other things will be attached to it outside of health concerns. I've been hearing a lot, and you probably have too, about the Biden administration's focus against domestic terrorism. I wrote a couple articles on this, where the Biden administration says that domestic terror or white supremacists is like the number one evil in America these days. And I looked up some data, and the data just does not support it. I mean, it does not support it at all, right? Mm-hmm. But they're pushing all that. And it turns out, as you look at the data, as you look at who the people they accuse, they always tend to accuse Trump supporters. So it's like you're putting a label on Trump supporters of domestic terrorists, and you're developing anti-terroristic new laws. You're really targeting Americans who simply have a different political opinion than the people in power want them to have. And I think that these vaccine passports eventually will be leveraged towards that. So maybe today it's, you can't come over here because you haven't been vaccinated. And tomorrow maybe, you may be vaccinated, but you're also been labeled a terrorist because it's attached to this magic file somewhere. And now you can't operate in polite society because we think you're a terrorist because it's something you posted on Facebook.
And that's it's a slippery slope there. And I think you're absolutely right. If we didn't learn anything from studying the behavior of the Nazis, shame on us, you know. This is serious business, and this is the last place on earth where we're supposed to be a free country. We're not really anymore. And this is it, you guys. I mean, I'm speaking to the whole world right now. This is it. This is the last hill to stand on, and God help us, man. Cause that is, and he's the only one that can, I guess, unless, you know, people like you keep spreading the word, getting people to think like, hey, hold on a second.
Yeah. Yeah. I, if nothing else, the most I want is for people to think critically and do their own research. It's something that I promote on my show a lot. So when you look at the news is a starting point of your research. You got to validate. You can't, you got to check the fact checkers. You know, I've lost a lot of faith in a lot of institutions because of their so-called fact checkers around, around COVID. Like I remember this guy, Michael Yaden, who was the chief scientist for Pfizer, who ran their R&D department. Now this is the top guy in Pfizer. I mean, you gotta know what he's talking about. He tweeted something that Twitter didn't agree with. So the fact checkers at Twitter canceled his account, canceled his tweet. And I'm sitting here thinking like, okay, so some people at Twitter, they may be smart, but are they as smart as the guy who ran the R&D for Pfizer? And they're gonna say that somebody at Twitter knows more than this guy and they've canceled his tweet out or canceled his account? It made no sense to me. That's just one of many examples about the media that caused me to just say, news is a starting point for research. I don't take anything the news says as gospel. I
mean, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah. Wow. Time has flown by.
Yeah, it's been great. I could talk to you all day, man.
Let's definitely do this again. If somebody wanted to check out some of your stuff, how could they find you online?
Yeah, absolutely. My podcast is Awake the Iron. It's on any major podcast players. And my website's awaketheiron.com.
Cool. And I'll put a link to it in the podcast description as well.
Excellent. That's awesome. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kaysen. I appreciate it. Let's definitely do this again soon.
I would love to. Thanks, Jim.
You have been listening to the Things I Think About podcast. If you love what you heard, hate what you heard, or don't know what you just heard, I want to know about it. Drop me an email. I can be reached at jimstroud, that's jimstroud@jimstroud.com. So, until next time, bye-bye.